talks about his work, his preaching as work. And us as Christians trying to serve the Lord, it is work. You remember the passage in Hebrews 11? All those people, those heroes of faith, what is it about them? Because they were doing something. Abel sacrificed. Noah built an ark. Abraham traveled following God. We do works of service for God. And talking about Abraham, going to the book of James for a moment, he talks specifically about Abraham's faith being played out by his works. So you can see here, work of faith. This is part and parcel of what we do as Christians. And talking about Abraham again, James says, do you see that faith was working together with Abraham's works, and by works faith was made perfect? As Abraham walked with God and he met every challenge and did everything that God expected of him and wanted him to do, he grew and developed as he lived for the Lord. And that's exactly the case with us. It is hard work for us to be Christians and to be busy Christians in service to God. And our faith will grow. The very famous verse, Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Something that we try to emphasize here at Parkway is the importance of reading God's Word daily and studying it carefully. And we try to do that with our Bible classes. In fact, we have three different topics that we're covering every week in the adult classes. We're meeting Sunday morning. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And Wednesday night, we're studying God's Word because we place a premium on this message that God has given to us. This is work, and we need to be diligent in our service to God. Good works that we are to perform. There's a well-known verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that says that in Christ Jesus, we have been made to work. We are His workmanship, and so we are then to, in turn, perform good works. That's what we are as Christians, and we do this by faith. This is a work of faith. Churches are not simply to be busy, though. They need to be acting in accordance with God's Word. And we are focused not simply on good deeds, but we are focused, number one, on worship. But we're also focused on doing what God has prescribed for us in the pages of the New Testament. We are trying to help one another make our way from earth to heaven. And as a church family, we are working together in that endeavor. This Thessalonian church, they had to make some sacrifices along the way. And if you go back to 1 Thessalonians 1, you see in verse 9 that they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What that tells us is a couple of things. One, this is primarily, this group here, they're primarily Gentiles. And what's unfortunate is that they were being persecuted by Jews, especially in Acts 17. A lot of these folks, proselytes at some point perhaps, but he says here you have come from worshiping vain idols, from paganism, and you have become Christians. How? How did that happen? By hearing the Word of God and making the change. We can't sit on our lazy boys and just do nothing. We are involved in a work of faith. Paul says, secondly, that we are also involved in a labor of love. We are not just simply here to worship God and because we love Him, but we also work together to serve each other. I want to look at a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians 1 for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 6. It says that God began a good work in you, and He plans to bring it to fruition, to completion, at the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work in you, and He's trying to help us to grow in our faith. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. You can't just stay the same. But then look what He says in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, He doesn't use the word love there specifically, but what does that denote to you? What is that describing to us? This is a dedicated life where we are trying to serve the Lord because we're not simply trying to jump through hoops and somehow do everything God tells us and make it to heaven. This is our act of service. We love Him, and we work hard at serving Him and pleasing Him. And we do that not just by worshiping and assembling together as we are, but also by serving one another. Not just our brothers and sisters, but everyone in the world. I'm going to look at a verse here in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, Jesus is telling a parable. But He makes this point in verse 40 of Matthew 25. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. What is Jesus describing here? Acts of service, where people served others, but they didn't have a halo on their head. That they didn't look like, physically, they were some important person. But Jesus says, when you helped the helpless, you were in essence serving me. If Jesus were here, we do everything to make him feel comfortable and help him because we love him. But Jesus says, we need to love everyone. We live in a tumultuous time right now. And while we've tried to address that a little bit from the pulpit in the recent past, I will remind you, as Christians, we are to love everyone. And this world is not our home. We are ultimately citizens of heaven, as Paul also talks about in Philippians, as a matter of fact. But we're here to help people, to see that God loves them, and that we are here to work together in our service to Him. Anytime that we are serving someone else, we need to think about how we are ultimately serving God in our service. You remember the great dissertation in 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection? Paul says, hey, Jesus really did die. He really was raised from the dead. There were people apparently who were doubting that in Corinth. And then he closes out this magnificent chapter on the resurrection, its reality and its implications, that sin has been defeated. And that's in the closing verses here, verse 55. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, because all this is true about the resurrection, this is what we need to be doing, sitting on our lazy boys, doing nothing. No, that's not what he says. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You ever get tired? You ever get discouraged thinking that what you're doing isn't making any difference as you try to serve Christ in this world? What is Paul saying here? This is a labor of love. We are serving God because we truly want to please Him. And when we do that, we have the confidence He will reward us. God is the one who wants us to wait on Him, to trust in Him, that He will provide for us, even though the world sometimes wants to make us think, oh no, that this world's just chaotic and no one's in control. Even today, right now, God is in control. And He wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to be the light of the world. This is our time to do that, if no other time. We need to be, as a congregation, as individual Christians, serving God as a labor of love and serving others as well by letting them know there's a better way to live, not filled with hate or despair, but filled with hope. And that's what Paul says thirdly and finally this morning, that as Christians, we have the patience of hope. My translation, as I'm reading the ESV this morning, says steadfastness. But the word I like that's sometimes translated here is endurance. Because that conjures up in my mind what the word means. It's not just simply being patient. Well, I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs hoping that everything's going to work out great. Rather, endurance denotes bearing under the difficulties of life. You endure. You are having to struggle in your walk with God. And he says we need to have the patience of hope. And that's an important concept. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. We just read verse 13 for a moment. But what is our ultimate hope? Well, it's heaven. And Paul emphasizes that in this passage. He says there are those who have fallen asleep. They've died. It may be as a result of the persecution. We don't know. Paul's not specific. But between the time that he wrote this letter and when he had been there with them and then wrote this letter, it seems that there are those who have died. And they're saying, well, wait a minute, they're dead. Does that mean they're not going to be resurrected? And he says, no, you misunderstand. Because we are not grieving for those who have no hope. I love reading these verses at funerals because they remind us that even though we may be physically dead, we have hope of eternal life. He goes on to say in verse 14, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. One more verse here. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We don't read these verses enough, do we? We don't remind ourselves of the hope of heaven like we should. But I hope to have remedied that this morning. The patience of hope. Hope is what sustains us. It's that ultimate hope of reward that we are not laboring in vain, that keeps us going. Hebrews 11, we talked about that at the beginning. Hebrews 11 has all these great heroes of faith. What about you? Are you serving the Lord because you believe he is going to reward us? Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, all these, up to this point, from Abel to Abraham, all these died in faith, not having received the things promised. Let's stop there for a moment. Think about Abraham. He was told, Abraham, one day, through your descendants, you're going to have a great nation. And that nation is going to inhabit a land, the land of Canaan. And ultimately, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I believe and I understand that to be referring ultimately to Jesus. But Abraham didn't see that in his lifetime. But he still believed. He still had faith. All these, he says, believed, not having received, or died in faith, excuse me, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Brothers and sisters, we're not guaranteed that everything's going to go perfectly well for us in this life. Paul's writing to a church in Thessalonica that was being persecuted. And he says, I am so glad. I thank God. I pray to him and thank him for your work of faith, your labor of love, your endurance of hope in Christ Jesus. That is a church pleasing to God. That's what we need to be striving for. It's not that everything's always going to go perfectly for us. Faith, hope, love. That's just the order we like them in. Here he says faith, love, hope. This is to be characteristic of us as individuals who make up this body of Christ here at Parkway in our service to God. It matters that every single one of us be faithful to him. And if you're here this morning and you don't feel like these words are describing you, I hope we can encourage you to get your life right with the Lord. It may be that you're discouraged and feel defeated. We're your brothers and sisters. We want to encourage you. If we need to pray with you, but we're here to do that this morning, to help you restore your relationship with God. Perhaps you're here and you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior. We have water that's ready. We can immerse you for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And we plead with you, if that is your desire and your wish, make it known right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.